Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and Across the Pond, UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Michael Zhang, he's a neurologist, a headache and migraine specialist with the Illinois Edward Neurosciences Group. He'll be joining me along with Eric Wabina. He's the president of the over-century-old Baseball Blue Book, a comprehensive platform for players, parents, coaches, recruiters. Then it's the Sports Doctors In with some Bob Guider wisdom and your emails. Dr. Michael Zhang, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hi, happy to be here.
Great. Give us some background on yourself and your neurology specialty.
Sure. I received a medical degree in Shanghai Medical University in 1991. And I did my residency training in the University of Buffalo, called SUNY Buffalo. And I also, after that, I had some fellowship training in the Albany Medical Center, primarily focused on neural and vascular biology. So my focus is seeing general neurology patient in my clinic, but I also board certified in headache medicine. So primarily my I'm running a headache clinic over here. So most of my patients are a headache patient primarily, but I also see some other conditions as a general neurologist, like a seizure disorder, stroke, neuropathy, as such.
Yeah, it's a big deal in the world of podiatry, neuropathy, the loss of feeling. I don't know if there's a bigger area over the years than headaches when it comes to the publicity for it and the discussions about it and the... are we finally getting somewhere in the world of migraines, Dr. Mike?
Yes. So migraine,
that's
actually...
That's good news.
I want to share with you a lot of exciting thing about a migraine treatment option nowadays. First of all, migraine is a condition very underdiagnosed and treated. Worldwide, we have over 1 billion people with migraine. In the United States, we have about 47 million patients suffers migraine. Only very few of them, probably less than 5% of them, really pursue the medical treatment. So we have a lot of traditional medication for migraine prevention to stop the acute attack. But more recently, we have a lot of a group of brand new category we call anti-CGRP monoclonal antibodies. It's a monthly self-injectable. It works very well for a patient with a chronic migraine. As Dr. Bob mentioned earlier, there's a new commercial that we see on TV. It was by Serena Williams, the tennis player. Ubravi is one of the newer drugs. It works a lot better than Tylenol.
Yeah, she put them on the map. She really put them on the map. What is the, in general, what's the difference between headaches and migraines?
Good question. So, migraine is not just a headache. Migraine has a group of many other symptoms associated with headache. Typically, it's a headache that causes severe pain associated with the sensitivity to light or sound, also nausea, vomiting. Many people could have some visual, aura, or other sensation, oral type symptoms prior to the attack. A headache is different. So let's say someone had a sinus infection, they could have headache, but not always it has migraine. So migraine has more features than just headache. It lasts.
I remember, Dr. Michael, I grew up with migraines. They call them eye aches. I would get one eye. I'd have to be, this is growing up, I'm probably as a young adolescent, and I would have to be in a dark room, and I would have the nausea, exactly the kinds of symptoms you're talking about. And somehow I lucked out, and I grew out of it over the years where it wasn't as much of a problem. But even as a young kid, these things were horrible. Do you still see in the age groups that children are dealing with migraines also?
Yes. So you answer very good, actually. That was a good point. So you outgrew. So the common age for a patient to have migraines is between 18 to 50 years old. So as we're getting older, overall migraine gets better. For adults, there are about 13% of adults has migraine, 8% probably in children, pediatric probably, they suffer migraine. So yeah, there are some, patients, they just seems like just, as you just said, like outgrew a migraine because you were getting
I always considered myself lucky, whether it was the glasses or the stigmatism. But on the sports doctor, Dr. Mike, one of the biggest topics for years is concussions. And various experts in so many different areas from around the world talking about it's never out of the news. And, of course, the post-concussion syndromes and problems, headaches, is a huge one. What are some of your thoughts on the challenges of these post-concussion or head injury situations ending up as real migraine or headache patients?
Very good point. There's a huge connection between concussion and a headache. Generally speaking, someone with a history of a prior migraine history, if they suffer a concussion, their migraine features tend to be worsening. Number two, for someone never had a history of a migraine, after a concussion or injury from sports or any kind of accident, they could develop a post-concussion migraine type of headache, which it would be brand new for such a patient. The treatment, of course, is similar to what the typical migraine could offer. However, concussion-related migraine definitely seems to be harder to treat. And it's very important to recognize that condition sooner than later, especially in a time right after concussion. So overall, concussion related to the headache, related to the migraine, is really, really a big problem. And I have a lot of patients with this such condition.
Oh, yes. The awareness and the education of all aspects of concussions in youth sports, from professional sports on down, it's gone from 20 years ago when someone said, how many fingers do I have up? Get back in the game, to all of these protocols when it comes again. And there's still no exact protocol when it comes to identifying when somebody is safely to go back to activities. And with the tremendous popularity of youth football, and these concussion situations with these the collision sports, then I would imagine, years later, even when someone's had a history in sports of concussions, would they be more susceptible to be dealing with migraines later on, Dr. Mike?
That's absolutely true. Yes, that's very true. That they are more susceptible, and their migraine tend to be very, very vicious in a way. That's why it's very important to identify them earlier to see the specialist opinion, develop a good treatment plan for them, because there's a big difference between how to manage an acute attack, how to manage a preventive medication.
Even from a neurological point of view, balance and stability and all of these other, the proprioception capabilities, post head trauma, how's the education of the coaches and the parents and the other medical professionals regarding the whole world of concussions? It seems like we've come a long way, baby, Dr. Mike.
So, you know, I would say it's always good to at least to have some basic education for athletes to understand that. First of all, their baseline health condition is very important. So whether, first of all, do they have a migraine to begin with, and how bad they were, and they have to be prepared to be educated on if there's a concussion happen, there's good chance the migraine or symptoms could be much worse than before. That's why it's important to get a good recovery time and rest after injury. Also, on the other side, let's say if someone has a condition with some numbness, tingling, or some neuropathy type of condition to begin with, they should be aware of that. They should take a precaution accordingly, because a proprioception, a coordination, a fine motor skill, all these are very, very important, are very vulnerable, put them more vulnerable to get injured. So with those, so it's always good to understand each athlete their own pre-health condition before a certain spot. I think I would always think the education on that is important.
Oh yes, we talk a lot about the absolute necessity. We have organizations from everywhere identifying on the sidelines and different, you know, developing baselines for the players so they would be able to notice differences, even specific differences, whether it's sensors in the helmet. There's even mouth guards that can help pay attention to head trauma and what might be going on. You know, but again, I think, you know, in that baseline, again, whether or not any of these kids who are playing have a history of migraines or headache should be something that should be paid attention to. That's an interesting new point that we're bringing up here on the Sports Doctor, this idea of including that in the baseline, being aware of those kinds of things, you know, whether it's coaches or parents or pediatricians, I would think, right?
Yes. I think it's important to pay attention to that, because the migraine in a form is very underdiagnosed. Oftentimes they just call post-concussion a headache, but it's really a transformative version of migraine, which requires a totally different approach. Either for abortive medication for acute attack or preventive medication for preventing migraine, they are very different from a regular, you know, sinus headache, let's say tension headache or cluster headache. So there's a pretty significant difference of definition and approach care plan for those different type of headache.
You know, in the general world of neurology, I'm sure, you know, you work very closely with physical therapists in order to get people post-stroke, post-injury, where they might have all sorts of nerve situations, and as well as some of the other morbidities with arthritis, the scourge of diabetes. And neurology has always been very, very involved with diabetes. As people start to lose sensation, have other kinds of symptoms, that's got to be right smack in the middle of a lot of the things that you do in neurology, right, Dr. Mike?
Yes, very true. Yeah, so, yeah, the preventive care is always better. And once the concussion happens, we really encourage the patient to get a group help. For example, even the physical therapy, some mindfulness therapy, biofeedback, or cognitive behavior therapy could also help, too. Aside from the medication management, yeah, diabetes.
Because, well, you know what's amazing, Dr. Mike? Even at the top of the world in the NFL professional football, just recently, over the past month or so, that situation with two of the quarterback and, you know, whether or not he should have ever been allowed to play, and the fact that he looked a little punchy yet, you know. So this whole education and awareness of these post-head trauma, let alone the you know, the post in the military, these kinds of situations. Again, when we're talking about the world of headaches and the world of migraines and that whole connection, I think it's a very interesting point. How long have you been with the Illinois Edward Neurosciences Group in Naperville and Plainfield?
It's almost 10 years now. After my residency, I picked the Chicago area as my favorite place to be.
Right. I mean, I don't want to test you or anything. Do you have a website for the group you want to mention?
I don't have my own website. We do have our Edward Neuroscience website. On the website, they really have some. I think it's a healthydriven.com. .org, I'm sorry, and it has some basic information about some migraine facts and the typical signs of the symptoms of migraine and the typical approach and our contact information. So, yeah, that's really from my workplace. I don't have my own, website.
Yes. Well, the group is always been impressive. Everything that Edward Delmhurst does from the fitness centers on down, we feature them and their groups all the time. I really want to thank Dr. Michael Zhang, neurologist, headache, migraine specialist, for joining us. We'll definitely have to have you back once we see that a lot of this information is so important with all of these medicines on television or whatever. So thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Michael Zhang.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Bob, for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Great. Great. Hold on for a quick second. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, An Essential Guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention, I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We want to welcome Eric Wubita. He's the president of the over-century-year-old Baseball Blue Book, a really great networking platform for players, coaches, trainers, recruiters. Eric, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, sir. Nice to be on.
Great. Give us some background, Eric, on you and on Baseball Blue Book.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate this opportunity, but the Baseball Blue Book, like you said, has been around since 1909. And one of the things that we like to tell people is it's the most comprehensive directory, coaches directory, and it's almost as old as baseball. And we've been doing business with the major leagues, with the scouting departments, colleges for years and years. And it started out just as a blue book does. It's a directory, and so when players or colleges wanted contact information, they would buy the Baseball Blue Book, and we would have every college and professional and independent baseball team and all of the contacts of each of those programs in our directory. And we updated it every year and printed it out and shipped it out to people all over the country.
Hey, how about the timing with the World Series starting in a couple of days, Eric?
It is, yeah.
Right on the money. With the timing. You know, the sports doctor for decades, where we talk about the importance of preventing injuries, preventing problems. We talk about the importance of enhancing performance and the incredible challenge of the safety in the world of baseball. Where there's Tommy John surgery done on 14-year-olds because of the tremendous challenges of overuse. So the challenge continues. Besides all the great information regarding, it's become such a big business with scholarships and traveling teams and all of these challenges that we want to pay big, big attention to the sports medicine side. With the two things everybody cares about. Number one, how do I prevent problems? And number two, how can I enhance my performance, be a step or two quicker? And starts early, you know. Bryce Harper was on Sports Illustrated, what, as a 15-year-old, if I remember?
Yes, he was.
Something like that. Yes.
Yep. Well, and it's really important. It's just as important as players are focused on their health and taking the preventative measures that they need to take. You know, one of the things that has changed over the years is the amount of training and analytics and data that the players are collecting, right? Baseball's always been a stats sport, right?
Yes.
Love the stats and going through it and the historical parts of the game. But the players are taking up, they're building up so many of their own stats and highlights, and that's really what the Baseball Blue Book platform is all about. Is it's really, we like to call it the LinkedIn for baseball. It's a single place where these players can build their resume from when they first pick up a ball and a glove, and they may not go, you know, to college, they may not even play high school, but there's a lot of memories, there's a lot of stats, there's a lot of highlights that the Baseball Blue Book provides.
Oh yeah, there's Little League and there's Babe Ruth League and there's all of these different growing up leagues. You know, I got very, very excited this past year, Eric, because my hometown, I played for the Massapequa Long Island
All-Star Little League team. They made it to the World Series this year. What a big deal and excitement that was. We got beat two games, but we lost to the eventual champion. What are the age groups that Blue Book pays attention to?
Well, that's a great question. You know, it's I made a comment of just the highlights. Right,
is it 3 to 103?
Yeah, we encourage anybody that loves baseball. Really, we're not a recruiting app, so we're not sitting there helping kids directly find places to play. We're indirectly helping kids find places to play. We're indirectly helping coaches find the players. As a network and as a platform, there's no better way. Right now, people pick Twitter or Facebook or Instagram to post videos or highlights. Well, there's a whole lot of other stuff that comes along putting them into those global platforms. The Baseball Blue Book is baseball. And so you could be 8 years old and your kid just joined T-ball for the first time and you got a video and you want to put some season stats in there, plug it into the profile, and then when they're 13, they're in another league. And now it's a compilation of everything that they have. It's really great because coaches love to see progress, right? So if you're 16, 17 years old and you've got things in there from when you first started, boy, they're looking at the progression that you make. And it's just an exciting place for other people, you know, for them to share it amongst their friends and family as well. So not only is it really good from a recruiting perspective, you know, if you hit 16, 17 years old, you're looking for the college to play at, you're looking at a tournament to attend, or you're looking for a new trainer. It might be a hitting coach. Well, everybody's in the Baseball Blue Book. So not only are you looking for colleges or an event or just posting stats, you're in there because it's a community of baseball people. It's a community of people that are looking to get better. And it's a community of people that want to be able to share their things in kind of a macro platform rather than one of these large networks that you get everything else with not just baseball.
Well, it's great to be able to hear that whether someone's looking for enhanced coaching, whether somebody's looking for a great hitting coach, great pitching coach, a nutritionist we might throw in, you know, in order to be sports psychology. In this world of social media, it's got to be a tremendous new challenge, as well as tremendously new tools, I would expect, Eric, regarding gathering this information and coming up with a good game plan for your son who's looking again to be able to pick, continuing to improve.
Yeah. No, you brought up a couple things. Let me hit on the sports nutrition and that side. I've done a number of interviews on my podcast with people that are part of developing technology from the medical perspective that is tailored specifically for baseball. You know, strengthening their shoulders, strengthening their arms, different ways that they can really help condition players.
Right. Yeah, strengthening their feet and ankles, Eric. Are you in the best shoe for your particular foot type in baseball? So that's some of the stuff that we like to add many, many times to the equation. And I'm glad to hear that you bring in a lot of different experts, a lot of topics with other podcasts as well as your own. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, and just to expand, you had even brought up, you know, what's changed with all of this new technology. There's so many analytics, right? The spin rates and launch angles and just all of this stuff. And here's what we found.
Baseball, I think it's overkill, Eric. Yeah. You ever hear the word overkill?
Oh, I've heard of overkill.
A challenge.
It is. And it's even more of a challenge because these players, they're now looking at all these proprietary systems and proprietary platforms that have all of this data. And we're trying to be that single place where people can put stuff, where people can find it. And we're not, you know, we work with so many different companies. We are an agnostic platform. So we welcome anybody that has data that can help a player, pursue their dreams. And that's really what we're looking for. And the podcast, we really focus on bringing people in that really want to really expand that knowledge to players.
What's the website, Eric? What's the website people go to find out about all about it?
Well, you can go to baseballbluebook.com, and we are on Twitter at BSBL, Ball Blue Book. We are on Instagram, and you can download the app. It's called Baseball Blue Book. You can find it on Apple and Android devices. So we're everywhere, and then the podcast is on all of your Apple podcast or Spotify. Yeah. We're also
now,
on YouTube.
Now, it's interesting, Eric, is that baseball is no different. In some instances, I have a chapter in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, it's called The Prodigy Sports, where we have, think of gymnastics, figure skating, ballet, but also baseball, especially down south where the weather's good, where it could be played year-round. And one of the biggest challenges in all of youth sports is these mental and physical overuse, too much, too aggressive, too soon. I call it the terrible twos. So the education of coaches and parents, sometimes understanding that we got to be very, very careful, especially with growing bodies, that we're just not overdoing it, because my orthopedic friend, the team doctor for the Yankees, although he's licking his wounds, man, Dr. Chris Ahmad, And all the work they do with trying to prevent these elbow and shoulder problems, talking about it starts so early, and the more talented the kid, sometimes the more aggressive they get. So the challenge of youth sports is gigantic with the tremendous attention in baseball. Like, you know, look, 2 weeks, the Little League World Series is on primetime TV, Eric. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it is exciting. I mean, there's over 18 million players, amateur players in baseball, and so there's a lot of kids that are playing it, and there's just a lot of, you mentioned the overuse. I think that's one of the things that we really look to work with other organizations that are really, you know, it's important to keep track of what you've done and what these kids are doing. And they get caught up in the winning aspect rather than the preserving and the ability to look long term. And that's just part of the growing of the game.
It's a big part of the sports, doctor. I call it the mental game, Eric. Whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're the parents of an aspiring athlete, whether you're their coach, this whole idea of the mental pressure, the pressure to win, sometimes the earlier and earlier. We're all familiar with the overzealous parents and coaches on the sidelines. We've come a long way in this education that we really, really have to pay attention, you know, to the kids, regardless of their level. When you're dealing with the coaches and parents, Eric, how's your sports psychology skills on that side of things?
It's why I do podcasts and interviews with coaches, because I'll tell you, these coaches we are very fortunate in the world of baseball to have the coaches that we
have.
There's
a lot of good side to this. The publicity, of course, is so dramatic with what's wrong with these certain instances of all of these crazy pressures. The mental strain, the past Olympics, the biggest athlete in the world, Simone Biles, was talking about the mental side of things, let alone what the pandemic has put on top of us. I'm going to talk more about the mental game with Eric Wobina, the president of the over century-old Baseball Blue Book. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk. for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. We're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. We're talking with Eric Wobina. He is the president of the over centuries years old Baseball Blue Book and their incredible networking platforms for players and coaches and trainers, recruiters. We were talking a little bit also about your educational side of things with your own podcast. As well as some others. What's the name of your podcast, Eric?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's called the Baseball Blue Book Podcast.
Hey, right, man. Keep it simple, salesman. You know, we were talking about all of these pressures before the break, both mentally and physically. The statistical side of the great things that you guys do, this networking side, where you're able to be able to make it available for all of these different schools, as well as the whether it's high school and or college. And I would imagine that those services where, again, someone's looking to talk about what are some of the best baseball schools in my area, or, you know, what are some of these things I should be paying attention to now that my kid's playing baseball in high school. Talk about some of the networking platforms you guys pay big attention to.
Well, no, I think what you just said is really, really important. You know, there's over 1,800 college programs that have baseball available. And most kids don't know that, right? We all know the D1 schools. We all know the ones that make the World Series each year. We understand that. The problem is
Louisville.
yes, exactly. There's, you know, the Vanderbilts, there's some big schools out there, Oregon State, that's a big one. But they may not be the right fit for you as a player, and most kids are not going to play college ball, and even a smaller percentage of those kids are even going to have a chance of playing at the professional level. So it's finding a fit that makes sense for you from an education perspective, a location perspective.
I remember my son Adam was a darn good pitcher, and we had people, you know, we wanted to know, you know, could he play in Division I? Could he pitch for Division III? Is he a college player? And, you know, the idea of not knowing who the heck to ask even to be able to get that kind of information, even to be able to, you know, judge the level of your son and his baseball skills in order to be able to recommend the school in that regard. That's got to be such a big help for parents and coaches.
Well, it is, and it's really what it does is it also helps the programs as well, because, you know, you mentioned 1,800 programs. There's a lot of programs that they're looking, you know, their reach is only from the local community, and all of a sudden the Baseball Blue Book expands those reaches, even from the player's perspective or the coach's perspective.
And so this is a huge business. You know, it's fun. Youth sports is a $20 billion a year business.
Yeah.
You know, our upcoming documentary with my colleague Joe Franco, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports, hopefully maybe by the summer, winter time. And, you know, when we first were playing around with this 3-4 years ago, he'd say, you know, youth sports is a $15 billion a year business, Dr. Bob. And every time we would look to update what was going on, the price went up. And youth baseball is no different. Little League baseball, again, it's a prime time television. How's the relationship with Little League baseball, Eric?
Well, Little League, we're excited about the let's just put the youth league versus the high school and college, because here's the real key. And you talk about the cost continuing to go up and the mental pressures. Just take
big
that
time.
And exponentially as things get more costly. Well, one of the things that happens is parents and players think that they have to go certain routes, pay big money, go to certain tournaments, go to certain showcases, and then they can get exposed. Well, there's a big thing, and the internet has opened up the ability to do self-serve. And I think the Baseball Blue Book is really providing a lot of those self-serve capabilities to kind of put that control back into the parents.
I think you could be the leader. Yes. Yeah.
And,
the leader
and, yeah,
in the
do your own research.
And all of these. Yes. In the social media world and in the gigantic youth baseball world where we have, you know, 25 years ago, there was one guy in baseball threw 95 miles an hour, maybe. Now there's five guys on every team.
These guys are so much bigger, so much stronger. The whole world of baseball has changed dramatically. And the challenges of these evaluations, and I see Blue Book definitely as a real leader, being able to put these people in contact with what they need to know to make intelligent decisions. Because, again, it doesn't get any easier at all. Recruiting is such a crazy game, isn't it? Still.
Oh, it is. It's definitely big business. And so, I think what the Blue Book does is it brings some parity to the ability to reach and have kids that may not be able to afford the thousands of dollars that they spend on these showcases and tournaments. There's a fit effort for everyone, but there's yes. also the ability for kids that are really good to go find that program that they want to go play at. And sometimes it's simply an email and sharing a video and posting a highlight video on your profile in the Blue Book. And it sometimes it's as simple as that. We don't have to make it as complicated as we do by going to every showcase and tournament. Coaches know how to find the players, and we're just giving them another opportunity, another platform to provide that information.
Yes, and many of the youth organizations that we feature on the Sports Doctor, like the 40-year-old National Alliance of Youth Sports and iSport 360, my friends across the pond working with parents in sports, all value this kind of information, whether, again, your son is the best player in the state or whether he's just somebody who really, really loves the game, wants to continue to play, and you want options and you want yep. educated options for the being able for the parents to meet the right coaches and not necessarily get set on the wrong path in many instances, because, again, there's a coach for every position. And some of it's good and some of it's not so good. So people need the facts, right, Eric?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a lot out there, but it's hard to find it all. And that's really what we're trying to do, is kind of consolidate this proprietary kind of wild west of technology for baseball.
Hey, who invented the term Blue Book? Was it you guys or the car industry?
You know what? That's a great question. I think it's
you
got to
check that out and let me know.
I think
the writer said I want to find out about the car, man. They say, look at the Blue Book. It's got all the facts about what matters. And again, the same applies again to now we're talking again, the world of baseball and these particular kinds of challenges, the national pastime as we're launching into the World Series. So, the idea of the same kind of concept, I think I gave you a marketing idea maybe, Eric.
Well, I think it was the car industry. I think they predate.
Probably,
1909 is a long time ago. But, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It really does kind of capture what our mission statement is.
Great stuff.
We've expanded from the coach.
Eric Wobener. I knew we'd fly through the time here. Give me the website again. People could find out all about everything you guys do.
Okay. It's baseballbluebook.com. And you can find us on all the social platforms as well, or go and download the app and build your profile today.
Fantastic. We'll have to have you back. Eric, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey everybody, we're back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. So we highlight some upcoming shows. We add some Bob Guider wisdom. We answer some emails. Quick shout out. Bruce Merrin, one of the gurus of public relations. His first sports people were Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. The guy also represented Elvis Presley back in the day. Bruce Merrin, celebritiespeakers.com. Great shows coming up. Colleague of mine in podiatry and in sports podiatry, Dr. Ben Pearl. He hosts a great podcast, YouTube, Fit Foot U. So he'll be joining us, as well as Dr. Amir Hadney. He'll be talking about concussions and hyperbaric oxygen, topic we've discussed before. Following week, exciting show with Lindsay Berra, Yogi Berra's granddaughter. She's a outstanding sports writer in her own, as well as her involvement with her grandpa's wonderful museum in New Jersey and learning center. She'll be joining us. Bob Guider used to make a big deal. That's why we got married all those years ago. He made a big deal about strengthening the feet. He didn't care what your sport was. He didn't care what your level was. And many times the level was at the top of the world, whatever the sport was. He paid big attention to including strengthening the feet and ankles specifically. He invented a piece of equipment called the dard, which was a piece of equipment that would lay over the ankles, where you would be flexing your ankles up because he always felt those shins and those areas needed to be strengthened and rubber bands. And this was something that became a real, real big part of what I featured over the years on The Sports Doctor. It's one of the two essential exercises that I include in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, where I'm talking about two essential exercises, concepts we want included for your youth athlete, whatever their level, age, or sport is. And number one was strengthen those feet and ankles, a la Bob Guider. Number two, by the way, was work balance, enhanced balance. Those are the two keys. So Bob made a very, very big deal out of including foot and ankle as much as bench presses, as much as shoulder work, as much as any kind of core work. He included, not because you had a sprained ankle, not because you had a history of ankle problems, but regardless, big time, balancing on the mini tram, rubber bands, tilt boards, really strengthening those feet and ankles. Some emails. Steve says, I'm 40 years old, diagnosed with Morton's neuroma. Is this always a surgical problem? No, it isn't, Steve. We used to feel that way a couple of decades ago, that only surgery. Neuroma is a thickening of a particular nerve connection between the third and fourth toes of your forefoot. You can get neuromas between other toes, but it's almost vastly most commonly between the third and fourth is a particular connection. And various pressures and stresses on that nerve can cause it to callus or thicken, to get in the way. What we've learned over the years is, in some instances, proper orthotics to redistribute weight, to stop allowing excessive pressure or shearing forces under that area, can be very, very helpful. Sometimes cortisone injections can be very, very helpful. So the point, Steve, is
is try conservative measures first. If they don't work, you'd look at surgery, which is a very successful way, but it's not the first option. See somebody else. Stephanie says, my 11-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She's been doing double jumps for, gosh, since she was almost a year. And her knees are a constant problem. We've been to physical therapists. You know, Stephanie, pay attention to your daughter's feet. Over the decades, over half of the young females I've seen, regardless of their sport, but absolutely in figure skating, I'm a foot specialist. Over half the people I was seeing, these girls, their knees were a problem, and it was foot-related. It was excessive torque, especially in the developing young adolescent. As a girl's hips widen, the angle down to her knee changes. Besides the beginning of adolescent hormones, and we can start seeing problems that often are mechanical. Flat feet are famous. Overpronated feet are famous for causing these excessive stresses around the knees. And when we lock the foot in a figure skate, a boot, many times we are exaggerating some of those forces being exhibited up the leg. Great success with orthotics. You want to look at that big time. You might throw some super feet in her skates right away, replace the insole in the skate. See sports podiatry, ideally. I can't tell you how successful orthotics can be, along with the physical therapy, the orthopedic evaluations you've gotten. But if your daughter's feet don't hurt, often that's not paid attention to. And by the way, the same orthotics that will really make a difference in her knee problems will make her a much more efficient skater. Big news. Edging, balance, stability, proper orthotics make a real difference. Paul says, my sons are 11 and 13 years old. They play soccer. That's really their sport of choice. They both have had heel problems on and off. Paul, number one, get these kids out of the cleats. Soccer is famous for cleats right under the heel, growth center. There's a big growth center in the heel. It doesn't come together in boys till 15, 16 years old. It's susceptible to stress. And soccer is famous for the younger kids, even 6, 7, 8 years old, already having cleats with their so-called soccer shoes. So get into multi-nub shoes that don't have specific clusters right under the heel, number one, for sure. And get evaluated by podiatry regarding that heel growth center. We've had great success with orthotics over the years with these chronic heel problems. Your message sounds like that. By chronic, I mean, you know, every season his heels or her heels are bothering them. And we can't pin it on anything specific, but it hurts. It's on and off. This is the kid many times that we see in the office, and orthotics are magic to these kids. When excessive motion is one of the culprits, then we've got the shearing force besides the compression. A young boy or girl could be running up and down and land on that heel wrong and aggravate the growth center. And sometimes it could be a problem that we have to pay attention to, but usually it's not persistent. If it's persistent, you want to look at the biomechanics. Again, you want to make sure when there's a postural problem that's persistent, ankles and above, knees, shins, even low back, include the analysis and the importance of that foot mechanics. You have high arches, you have excessively flat feet, totally different forces going straight up. If I had time, I'd sing the song, The Foot Bone's Connected to the Ankle Bone. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.